left or right, it could be red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you. So come on, come on, come on, it's time for Covey Talks. This ain't no matter if I'm right.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Covey Talks Show. I'm Cody Heitschmidt. It's May 19th, 2013. Mother Nature has finally figured out that it's spring in Kansas. We're starting to act like spring in Kansas a little bit, right, Heath?
Oh, yes.
We rocked and rolled pretty good across the state last night, and for about the last 3 months, Mother Nature hasn't been able to figure out really what season it was around here. We'd have a little spring storm, and then we'd have a 90-degree day, and then the pipes would freeze the next night. It was a little bit of a crazy scenario, but I think Mother Nature let us know last night that she remembers how to play spring in Kansas. And
she finally dropped at least 4 tornadoes in Pawnee County last night.
And we had huge limbs down at our house in Nickerson here, just northwest of Hutchinson. We had to have had 70-mile-an-hour winds to take down as many big limbs as were taken down in our neck of the woods.
And that's quite possible. For our storm that came through our area, mainly it was for wind. Not much hail was indicated on the radar, so
we didn't have any
wind threat when it came through here.
So, really, I just wanted to congratulate Mother Nature for getting her life straightened out and getting back on schedule. And
we may see some more storms today.
Yeah, I've heard today heat-of-the-day storms, which... They're always a little bit less scary to me when the sun's up. You know, when you can look out your window and see what's coming.
Yeah.
That's when storms are actually very interesting to me. At night, when I've got Heath screaming in the radio and the TV guy screaming and I can't see what's going on outside my window and my kids are in bed, I get a little antsy sometimes.
I don't scream. The other guy panics on the air.
I know. You're absolutely right, Heath. You do keep your cool and, I'll give you kudos. A good broadcast last night during the storm. So, again, that and the other thing I wanted to say on the current events side was congratulations to all the graduates. I went to a graduation party yesterday. Our public school and my alma mater here, can you say alma mater about a high school or is that just a college thing? Anyway, the high school that I went to is graduating today. So congratulations to all the graduates of Hutchinson High School. Never look back because these are some of the greatest times of your life because from here on out, most of you have to start paying your own bills and it just gets grinding. So have a good time. Congratulations. And that's really it for the current events because I want to get to the game. The other current event is Heath and I somehow botched the computer up here. So sorry for coming live a couple of minutes late. Probably mainly Heath's fault.
Probably.
But we don't really know what happened, but we're live now, so welcome to the show. Our guest today is, and I was an idiot and talked to her on the phone for 5 minutes. Nikki, your last name is Gosser. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay, Nikki Gosser. Nikki has a fairly emotional story, that turned into a book. Nikki, I get these emails from the PR firms and it says, Nikki Gosser, gun rights advocate. And at this time, believe it or not, as a radio show host, I get pitched probably somewhere around 12 to 15 gun control discussion people a week. My show's only on twice a week, so I have to kind of get picky about them. You have more of a story than just you're just a pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights person. You have a firsthand, almost as firsthand as it can get story behind it. Tell us about why you're a gun rights advocate.
Sure. Back in 2009, my husband and I were running our mobile karaoke business out of a restaurant that serves alcohol here in the Nashville, Tennessee area. My husband was murdered right in front of me and about 50 people, right in the middle of that busy restaurant. At the time, Tennessee state law said you could not carry a permitted legal firearm for self-defense in any establishment that serves alcohol. So, myself being a permit holder, I followed that law, and I left my gun locked in my vehicle. Of course, the man that killed my husband, he was stalking me. He brought his gun in illegally. He had no handgun carry permit. He didn't follow the law and killed my husband. And everyone was completely helpless. And I'll probably wonder, Toby, for the rest of my life, if I possibly could have prevented that from happening. I had already had my permit certification, my intermediate pistol certification. I was a range volunteer for armed guard and handgun carry permit training. So I had quite a bit of training at that point, and I'll never know if that training could have been helpful because I was denied that chance. And that's the name of my book, is Denied a Chance, How Gun Control Helped the Stalker Murder My Husband. I think it's important. I felt like it was important for the public to hear from a victim that doesn't blame the gun for a change. I blame the murderer and those who legislated me out of my right to protect myself and my husband. The book, it actually started as a diary, and it just kind of grew from there. But, you know, it's not just a pro-gun book. It's about grief, trauma, and loss. It's about love. It's about some of the post-traumatic stress that I went through having to witness something that horrific. It's about dealing with the criminal justice system. You know, I had to wait over 3 years for this man to go to trial. And I'm here to tell you that it's not a justice system. I tell people it's just a system. I talk about some of the advocacy work that I've done. I contacted the sponsor of the restaurant, Terry Bill, here in Tennessee, just a few days after Ben was taken from me. And I worked with him, and he told my story, had me come out to the Capitol. I had never been to the Capitol. I was scared to death. But he shared my story on the floor, and they ended up passing the restaurant, Terry Bill. So we have now had that law in place for over 2 years. As long as you're permitted, that means you've passed a background check, had your fingerprints taken, and you've taken the state certified training. And as long as you're not drinking alcohol, you can carry your permitted gun in those establishments. They are still allowed to post a sign on their front door saying no guns allowed, and you have to honor that. But if there's a restaurant owner that wants good law-abiding people there, that are carrying, they certainly can now.
So, yeah, absolutely. First of all, our condolences for your loss. It sucks. It's something that you. It's those type of scenarios. And I hope that as far as that goes, that you're able to every day wonder a little less, because that wondering is got to be a difficult thing to deal with. On the second note, I will tell you that I'm in favor of, in a true libertarian sense, I'm in favor of a private businessman that owns a business being able to put up that sign, and say that you can't carry in there. Again, like you said, it then becomes, it's your choice whether or not you want to go in there, with your firearm. I think that's one of the great, you know, that's a great example of freedom. If that restaurant owner is against the concept, then they can put up that sign, and those of us that have a concealed carry should abide by that and just choose not to go there if we're not willing to go there, not carrying. Do you agree with that concept?
I do. I'm a big, you know, private property owner's rights person too. But I do have these little cards that I hand out. You know, if I go to a restaurant to go eat and I notice there's a sign on the door, I'll hand one of these little cards to the manager. And it basically lets them know that your sign is not going to stop a bad guy from coming in here and harming people. And what your sign actually does is prevent good law-abiding people from being able to defend themselves. And then it lists all the reasons why permit holders can be trusted. And I try to encourage them in a very nice way to take the sign down or to at least consider it. So I think that's important to try and educate people as well.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the epitome of everything that's good about America working right there, that you as a public citizen, you should be the one that decides whether or not that business, not you, just you, but all of us, should be the one that decides whether that business flourishes based on its principles and political views that it comes out with. And that's why I don't ever want a state to come out and say every business, and I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. I'm a pro, Second Amendment guy, because of stories like yours and many other concepts that make me believe it's the way to be. But I don't ever want the state of Kansas or the state of Tennessee in your case to come out and say, No restaurant owner, you can't put that sign up. You have to let them carry. I think that's the government overstepping its bounds in a lot of ways. But again, the way you handle things like that is just like you are. You say, hey, listen, first of all, here's some education about it. And second of all, you should probably know that there's a fair amount of people whose business you're going to lose because of this. I think that's America working right there, as opposed to calling your state capital or calling Washington, D.C. and forcing them to make change. Americans have to make that kind of change on an individual, local, community basis.
Right. Exactly.
So from your experiences, you wrote a book. I always like it. I made an assumption that this is your first book. Is this your first book? I'm sorry, there wasn't anything negative meant about that. I knew a little bit of your story and didn't know about another book. So I always like to talk to authors about the first-time book process. And I can't imagine, you know, you always hear, I think sometimes that some of them just make it up to be harder than it really is, because it's always more interesting if it's drastic, but I know there's got to be a lot of issues with writing your first book and figuring things out and learning how to do things. And then when you pile on your subject matter, at a minimum, that had to be a fairly intense experience writing that book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of sleepless nights. And, you know, you get frustrated because in order to write this, you know, you're reliving it. But I felt like it was important, so I pushed through it. And it was, you know, it was also healing. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it bothered me, but it helped me at the same time. I just feel like it's important to educate people, and so I just pushed on through it. My dad, he hung a punching bag out in my shed out back. For me, when I'd get frustrated, I'd go out there and use the punching bag. But, you know, it was difficult at some points. I would have to stop, you know, and not touch it for a few months just to try to get back to some normalcy and forget about it for a little while. And then I'd go back and work on it some more. And then, of course, I finished most of the manuscript. And I thought about releasing the book, but the trial hadn't happened yet. And I had another year to wait for this trial, so I thought, well, I'll just sit on the book until the trial's over. So I waited, and once that was over, I completed the book. But the trial was really disturbing. I write about it in the book because I wanted the reader to know what it's like to be a victim and have to face this person that did this, and dealing with the court system and everything, I wanted people to know what it's really like. You know, we see this stuff on TV with Law and Order and all of this, and we think we know, and it's not like that. It's really not. It was difficult, some of the things that were brought up in the courtroom. It was an insanity defense, of course. They said some pretty disturbing things in the courtroom that I was not aware of. They basically said that the man was paranoid delusional, is what the psychologist came up with. And, you know, this man, a few of the stories they told, this man, he couldn't get along with his fellow coworkers. He was living in Florida before he came to Nashville. And he wasn't getting along with people. He was a supervisor over a handful of men working around heavy equipment and high voltage electricity. And they ordered him to have a mental evaluation or he'd be terminated. And of course, he refused. He just simply refused the mental evaluation. So they fired him. And when he got fired, his home went into foreclosure. Apparently, he lost his girlfriend, and he just decided to move to Nashville to pursue music. And when he got here, you know, people thought that he was really odd. I remember there wasn't really anything extraordinary about the guy. He blended in with the crowd. This man was a karaoke customer of mine. He showed up in downtown Nashville, and we thought he was just a tourist at first, but then he started coming into the establishment more often, and he was just very awkward, just socially stunted. But, you know, people tried to be, you know, friendly with him. He was a customer, and he just took this interest in me. And he wouldn't leave me alone. And my husband had to very nicely ask him to leave me alone. And he was, I guess you would say, a creep. He was creepy.
Yeah. But, I think that's, I think he deserves that, if not a lot more colorful adjectives about him. How did I tell you what, we need to take a quick break. I threw us off schedule by coming back on late, but we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Nikki Gosar, author on the Cody Talk Show.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus presents Fully Charged Gold Edition, an all-new electrifying surge of entertainment only feet away from your seat. Be captivated by magnificent acrobats as they flip 20 feet in the air. Marvel at danger-loving daredevils. Feel the power of motorcycle mania and be mesmerized by our sensational Asian elephants. Get ready for megawatts of thrills. Tickets start at $12. Additional fees may apply. See selectaseat.com for details. Coming to Intrust Bank Arena May 30th through June 2nd.
As the academic year draws to an end, we want to congratulate all of our Lyons High seniors on their upcoming graduation.
Every year, teens die on graduation weekend because they make the choice to illegally drink or get into a car with someone who has been drinking. This year, make a pact with your friends to celebrate safely and alcohol-free. Seniors, we applaud and appreciate your accomplishment. The world is your realm. Go ahead and conquer it. Have fun, dig deep, stretch, make all of your dreams come true.
Brought to you by BZB in Lyons.
Hi, this is Gabe Gehring, General Manager at Midway Motors of Hutchinson. We're proud to bring you this message from the Hutch Rec Commission, and we invite you to join the family at Midway Motors on East 30th today.
Splash into summer with Hutch Rec's Salt City Splash Aquatic Center. The Splash opens for the season on Memorial Day Monday, May 27th, and is open daily from 12:30 to 6:30 p.m. through August. Purchase your season pass now at special early bird rates. Check out more information at saltcitysplash.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Salt City Splash is located in beautiful Cary Park.
Ad Astra Peraspera Broadcasting accepts applications for both full and part-time employment on an ongoing basis. If your business or organization assists with job seekers and would like to be notified of posted job openings, contact Operations Manager Aaron West at 665-5758 or fax your request to 665-6655. At Astra Paraspora Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer.
Everyone's so tied up with graduation and getting ready for summer that it schools out for me if I don't do something fast. I've been racking my brain because I can't afford to fail. Hey, this is Tommy Lubbers with Lubbers Hutch. I need people in the door right now. That's why I'm helping you drive for five. That's right. You can drive a nicer, newer car today with just $5 down. Plus, trade in any car, failing or flunking, and we'll help you go home in a nicer, newer ride with just $5 down. My fast-track credit approval process works hard to get you a car, even if your credit won't make the dean's list, even if you've been turned down before. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, get rid of your old clunker. 2, invest only $5 down. 3, pick out a nicer, newer ride and drive home today. Get down to my Drive for 5 sale right away so you can stop driving a car you hate and upgrade to a nicer, newer car today. Hurry, Drive for 5 ends May 31st. I'm Tommy Lubbers reminding you, Lubbers Hutch is the right answer. Visit LubbersHutch.com. Lubbers Hutch on 30th Street.
Requires bank approval. KSKU.
Cody Tom.
All right, welcome back to the Cody Talk Show. Very interesting story today. We're here with Nikki Gosar, author. Nikki lost her husband, at least in her mind, in my mind as well now from talking to her, there would have been an opportunity to change the possibly change the outcome of that evening if Nikki had been allowed to do what she had been properly trained and identified to this, as the, by the state of Tennessee to do it and carry her firearm for protection. Nikki, in the grief process, I just want to go back and touch on this real quick. You said that your dad put up a punching bag in the backyard for you. I love that concept. I love family kind of coming together. You know, dad, you know, there's a whole bunch of people in the world that would just think your dad is crazy for hanging a punching bag out back, you know, for his, I'm making hand quotes, for his little girl. But I think those creative ways of dealing with the grief process are sometimes just so much better than any PhD level mind doctor could ever come up with, aren't they?
Yeah, my dad was very, very helpful. He knew how frustrated I was. And, you know, you get to a point where you're just so upset and distraught. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Steel Magnolias with Sally Field, but remember in the movie she said, I'm so angry when her daughter Shelby passed away, I could just punch something. And that's when the ladies handed over Shirley MacLaine and said, here, punch Weezer, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of what it was like, you know? He knew I was frustrated and I needed a healthy outlet. So that punching bag came in real handy.
Don't tell anyone, but I've seen and really like Steel Magnolias. I'm not incredibly sure what that does to my...
You have to turn over your man card.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that does to my man card status, but it's a great movie, but I don't tell anybody that I like it. But you also said that you did get some professional clinical help from a psychologist. Tell us a little bit about that story. There's a pretty good backstory there, I think.
Sure. The National Metro Police Department, I learned, provides free counseling for victims of violent crime. It's a victim intervention program. And for the first few months, I thought that I could deal with it on my own. I majored in psychology. That's what I have a degree in. And I thought, well, I should be able to handle this on my own. And I tried, but it was very difficult, and I realized that I probably needed to go talk to someone. It's different when you talk to someone who's not a friend or family member that won't judge you or worry, you know. You can talk openly with them.
Sure.
And so I went reluctantly to my first appointment there, and the victim intervention program, people were very nice. I spoke with them for about 45 minutes to an hour, my first session, basically told them what had happened to Ben. but I didn't get into the part where I told them about my handgun, having to leave it in the car. That didn't come out until my second session. And I'm there for my second counseling session, and I'm now telling the person that, the therapist, that I had to leave my gun locked in my car, that I was properly permitted, and how upset I was about this. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you have a gun on you right now?" And I said, well yeah. Yeah, I do, actually. It's concealed, and I've got a permit to carry, and you don't have a sign on your front door saying that I can't. And, yeah, I'm carrying. And I reached into my purse to get my wallet to pull out my permit to show her that she has nothing to fear. I'm perfectly legal. And she freaked out on me. She was like, "Don't take your gun out. Don't take your gun out. You can't have a gun in here." And I was like, "Lady, calm down. I'm just getting my permit to show you." So I showed it to her. And she looked up at me and she just said, "You cannot have a gun in here. Our rules are no guns." And I said, "Well, then you should have a sign on your front door, because I feel pretty awkward right now. And I am not coming back." So I got up and I left. And I ended up emailing her supervisor and told them how disappointed I was that, you know, here I am, I need this service, but I'm not willing to disarm, and for very good reason. And she proceeded to say, "Well, Nikki, we didn't realize that it was really this bad for you, that you feel like you have to carry a gun with you all the time." She said, "We can certainly call our security person to walk you to your car, but you can't bring a gun in here." I had never seen a security person. The two times that I was there, I don't know where this person supposedly was, but I never saw them. So I just told her, "Look, I'm not coming back." So I had to then go seek out my own psychologist, and this one would not be free. It would cost me at least $30 an hour. But I found one, and he was wonderful. He didn't mind me carrying at all. As a matter of fact, after my first session with him, I was getting ready to walk out to my car. It was dark. And he said, "Well, let me walk you to your car." And then he stopped and he thought about it and he said, "Hang on a second. You're the one who should be walking me to my car."
Yeah, exactly.
So it ended up working out, but it was frustrating. But, you know, when you go through something like that, I think you do need help. You know, it's pretty devastating. So I talk about that in the book.
Some of that uncomfortableness. I mean, I obviously wasn't there and didn't experience it firsthand, but I think there's a group of people in the world that are just uncomfortable, so unfamiliar with firearms, that they perceive you, you know, there's people out there that just think, now, this lady has a gun in her purse or on a holster or however you choose to carry, and they have so much lack of a sense of what that's really about. And it's almost to me like the way that we require driver's ed, there should be more education in that sense, so a person can learn how non-dangerous a firearm in the right condition, in the right hands, actually is. Does that make sense? I think there's this group of people that are so unfamiliar that they hear that this lady in their office has a gun, and everyone goes into a panic because of it, because of their lack of understanding of it. Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think the media drives that. The media wants you to believe that guns are the problem, guns cause more crime, guns are bad, and it's just something that's a taboo now, you know, "Oh, a gun, why would she carry a gun? Guns are bad." And it's pumped through the boob tube and over the internet and the radio waves every single day how bad guns are, and that's the purpose in me writing the book. I want people to know that, you know what, guns aren't bad. It's the person who's holding the gun. And if that gun is being held by a good person, that gun can save innocent lives. And they do every day. And unfortunately, the media, they just simply ignore it. They don't report on it. And, you know, people use guns for self-defense 5 times more than they're used by bad guys. But you don't hear that in the media. And it's extremely unfair. And it causes people to have that reaction when they find out a law-abiding person is actually, you know, doing something that's right.
Yeah, that's the part of it is very frustrating to me as well, in the sense of I really try with this radio show and my website to be, I no doubt have my political views, but I try to be, I try to not be Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck where they're just constantly bashing the other side. I for the most part agree with those guys. But I think their approach is so abrasive that they keep a good conversation from happening sometimes. Anyway, that got sidetracked. But and I try to like figure out the justification behind the majority of the media's motivation. But they just keep proving over and over again that they are not going to cover the whole story. And you're absolutely right that the safety issues and the good things that happen from people being able to protect themselves on an equal or more protected level than the bad guys, they just don't get covered. You know, the stories like yours, where gun control laws worked against the safety of good citizens at this, in this particular instance of your story, it's really frustrating to me that the public, and you know, in my mind, if the stories of people of happy endings because someone was armed were covered more, that psychologist wouldn't have freaked out in your office, especially since she'd sat with you one go round already. She knew who you were, knew what type of person you were, had a short relationship going there. She wouldn't have freaked out if she hadn't been bombarded with guns are bad by the media, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, her reaction was pretty incredible. So I just determined the best thing for me was to get out of there and to never go back. But yeah, you're right. The media, they drive this. And, you know, unfortunately, the only places you can really go to learn of self-defense stories are, you know, the NRA's Armed Citizen and Gun Save Lives, you know, websites. They give stories of people that have stopped perpetrators. And I try to go there and look at them every once in a while. And I talk about this in the book. It's something that the public just is not hearing, and it's really frustrating. But, you know, I think I also talk about law enforcement. You know, the majority of rank-and-file police officers, they support good, law-abiding people carrying a gun they're trained to use for self-defense. And, you know, the majority of them, they understand this because they see the crime out there. They're in it every day out on the street, and they're tired of seeing innocent people harmed. They're happy that we're out there carrying. And, you know, that old saying that when seconds count, the police are minutes away, I'm here to tell you that it's true.
Well, and it's not...
it's not their fault.
Absolutely.
You know, they've got a very difficult job, but they know they can't be anywhere and everywhere at any time. And at least the police officers that I know, they would much rather find an innocent person with a smoking gun and a dead bad guy than the other way around.
Well, I can tell you that you're not just... I can back your story up because my dad's a 42-year veteran of law enforcement and a chief of police over a department of about 100 officers. And on the weekends is a concealed carry instructor. So... you're absolutely right that there are a lot, I don't have statistics, but there's a lot of law enforcement officers that very much support the good guys. That you're absolutely right. The good guy holding the smoking gun is always a better scenario in their mind to show up to. And in fact, the majority of them that I know are avid advocates of it. Even to the point that the majority of them I know, their boss, who is my dad, every weekend turns out concealed carry permits to people. So and if you're going to listen to somebody, I don't understand how good law enforcement officers aren't exactly who we should be listening to. They're the ones that are on the front lines of it every single day. And if they're saying that good people being armed is a good option, I don't know, bringing in some expert from some Ivy League school to tell us differently is ridiculous in my mind. And sure as heck, leaving it up to congressmen and the president doesn't make any sense because they're not exposed to the things that people are. It's a crazy, crazy argument in my mind sometimes. I love to try, and this is that's a horrible way to word it, but I'm excited about the opportunity to take a story like yours and say, look, there's two sides to this. There's a whole bunch of victims out there that aren't victims because we don't have enough gun laws. They're victims because the government restricted their ability to protect themselves. And any time we can get a good, legitimate story like that out there, hopefully it just makes people understand that it's what America was founded on. America was founded on this concept of we're just a little bit tougher. We're a little bit more willing to take care of our own problems than the rest of the world was. That's why we moved over here 400 years ago, was we wanted to do it our way and take care of our problems. And it seems like every day we gravitate more back to depending on the government to take care of our problems. And then issues like this happen. They overstep their bounds. We're going to take another quick break real quick. And we'll be back to wrap it up with Nikki Gosar, author here on the Cody Talk Show.
Do you have too much stuff and need to get rid of it all? Or are you looking for a bargain right in your own backyard or in the next town? Check out BST Exchange, the best way to buy, sell, or trade locally. Users can list items for sale, browse all available items, and buyers and sellers can communicate with each other right through the site. Plus, be sure to check out the upcoming garage sale feature. If you have a garage sale coming up, you can list the location, add details of what you have for sale, and include pictures to show buyers why they need to check out your sale. And if you're a treasure hunter, you can view all the garage sales individually or on the interactive map to help plan out your strategy. The best part? You can place a garage sale listing at no cost. That's right, it's free. With local networks all over our listening area, you can buy, sell, or trade today. Go to AdAstroRadio.com today to get started for free. That's AdAstroRadio.com.
My husband recently discovered the Cox Bundle, combining our favorite services like internet, TV, and home phone. Ever since, he's been combining things that normally aren't.
Simple concept here. You get more when you bundle. Like Jazzer Chores, where you get a funky, fresh workout while you clean. All right, gang. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hannah mops dirty floor.
Why doesn't Tyler ever get mop duty?
Because nobody can jazz hands and twist like you can, kiddo. 5, 6, 7, 8. Rachel, help. Too much weight.
Honey, are you okay?
Bundle efficiency levels all-time high.
But with all our favorite services in one package, I think Cox has the bundle thing down.
Get our new 2-year price guarantee, our best offer ever. Bundle options start as low as $99.99 a month and include advanced TV features, the fastest internet, and home phone. Plus, free pro install. Come by any Cox Solutions store or go to cox.com today. Limited time offer for residential customers newly subscribing to qualifying services. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fees apply. Equipment taxes and other fees extra. Other restrictions apply. See cox.com for details.
The KSAH Maxim multi-controller tractors at Straub International now feature an advanced armrest and multifunction propulsion lever that provide fingertip controls for all major tractor functions. And now pull the best in balers with your Maxim. The KSAH RB4 series round balers form consistently dense bales in varying crop and field conditions. And the RB564 premium baler should be your choice of failing in tough residue conditions. Ask one of our sales consultants about 0% financing on both Case IH Maxims and RV4 Series balers. For all your farming and ranching needs, visit Strom International at any of our 7 locations.
Hi, this is Scott with Scott's Pro Landscape, Hutch's only full-service lawn and landscape company. We are already known for our outstanding mowing and fertilizer service. But did you know Scott's Pro Landscape can install irrigation systems for your home or business? Are you considering a patio, outdoor kitchen, or living space? Reinvest in your home and let us put our expertise to work by designing an outside area for your family. Spend your time enjoying your yard instead of working on it. Call us today at 728-8669 or check us out online at scottsprofessionallandscape.com.
KSKU.
All right, we're back with Nikki Goser, the author of Denied a Chance. The website to check out Nikki's story, Nikki has a blog there. I love an author's website where they take the time for there to be other information instead of just a giant buy my book link. And denieda.com is Nikki's website. There's a lot of stuff there. There is obviously an opportunity to buy the book there, but there's also other good information and links and a blog and some photos. Nikki, we talked during the break there that when this incident happened, you were working a side job or a part-time job of a mobile karaoke business, and your daytime job you were a financial aid advisor for a college. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so that put you, at work in another gun-free zone. And in fact, you had to sign an employee agreement there, that you couldn't even leave it in your car. You couldn't even leave your firearm in the car at your college. I think there's, and again, I'm passionate about my Second Amendment rights. I'm a firm believer, though, that we need to have civil conversations about this. So I try very hard to understand the people that disagree with me's point on that. And it blows my mind in our society today that everywhere that we allow a group of people, a large group of people to come together, we're okay with someone being armed to protect them. I mean, the Super Bowl, college football games, high school football games in my hometown, we have somewhere between 6 and 8 armed police officers there. But the second that you take my kids or someone else's kids and put them all in a group together, we make it a gun-free zone. I mean, you know, do you know the... If people would stop and think for a second about the horrible circumstances that we would have in history if we had made the Super Bowl a gun-free zone, literally just that change would be an invitation to people that want to do, you know, these. I'm a firm believer that a lot of these school shooting people and even some of the domestic terrorist acts that we have, people are just looking for giant amounts of attention. They're deranged enough that they just want the attention. And it blows my mind that our educational facilities, and it's even worse because it's kids. Even at a college, they're still kids. And by making those a gun-free zone, I mean, it's just an open invitation to someone that wants to do something horrible to draw attention to themselves or their ridiculous cause. That had to have... Did you go back to that job afterwards?
Yes, and it was very, very difficult because I was completely disarmed. You know, when you can't even have it locked in your car, you know, you're disarmed all the way to and from work and anywhere you stop in between, you know, the bank, the pharmacy, the grocery, the gas station, and all of those parking lots associated with those places. You know, sometimes I'd get off from work and it was dark and I'd have to stop by the grocery and I'm walking by myself in a dark parking lot. And, you know, it was a huge concern. It was very difficult for me.
Okay, I want to Oh, I'm going to throw a devil's advocate question at you that hopefully you take right. I've gotten, I think in the 52 minutes I've been talking to you, you're going to take it right. And now that I've got your website up and there's a picture of you here on it, and what do you say to the person that says, if, you know, okay. I'm going drastic with this, so take it right, okay? That you're just a pretty little blonde girl from Tennessee. What are you going to do when I'm 6'2", 215. I'm just going to take that gun from you and use it on you. I want to hear your response to that argument, because I hear that argument about women carrying. I want your response to that, Nikki.
Sure. Well, number one, I choose to conceal carry. So the person is not going to know that I have it to begin with, because I believe in that element of surprise.
Sure.
I suppose it's always possible. You know, it is. Let's not ignore that fact. It is always possible that something could go wrong. But I'm not going to let that, drive fear in me, because a gun is the great equalizer. Puts me on equal footing with that huge bad guy. I would rather have a fighting chance. And, that's part of training. You know, the purpose of having the gun is to try to keep that guy at bay. Keep him away from you. Don't let him get that close to you. And I've got situational awareness. You have to be smart. You know, if you're walking in a dark parking lot, I've got a concealed carry purse where there's a separate compartment for the handgun. And I unzip it, and I put my hand on that gun while I'm walking to my car, and I'm looking. I'm looking around that parking lot for anybody that's, you know, looking at me, staring at me, getting too close to me. I try to pay attention to my surroundings, and that's part of training as well.
Well,
you
I think
have to be smart.
You gave the... You gave literally the perfect example, or the perfect answer to my question, because I think there are some women out there who would get all bowed up and say, well, let him try. And you didn't give that answer. You gave the, it's a possibility, but training, situational awareness. And when it boils right down to it, it is the equalizer, because if someone my size with bad intentions and maybe, I don't know, maybe you're a ninja and would just whoop the snot out of me, but I don't think so. If we met up in a dark parking lot and I had bad intentions, but you gave the perfect answer to that, that I'd rather have it, and have it taken away, because it's not going to go good at all if you don't have it at all. So I like that answer. I think it's very, to all the people out there that hear you say that you walk through the parking lot, with your concealed carry compartment unzipped, I guarantee you there's some people out there that think that their response to that, if they hadn't listened to the first 45 minutes of our show today, would call you paranoid. But no one can possibly, with the right mind, take that stance of calling you paranoid knowing your circumstances. From there, any other person in the world that knows your circumstances shouldn't be considered paranoid, by wanting to protect themselves. So you gave a great answer to, and I hope I didn't make it uncomfortable by
oh, no, not
the way,
all.
The
and
way
you
that
know,
I worded
people
it.
People say, well, you're just paranoid. I point out, you know, okay, let's stop and think about this. Do you wear your seatbelt? Do you have smoke detectors in your home? Do you, I don't know, carry life insurance? And why do you do any of these things? Do you do them because you're paranoid or because you want to be prepared? Carrying a handgun legally is no different to me.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think those statements from them about you being paranoid go back to our discussion earlier, where they think that anyone that has a gun is a huge high risk scenario. They're not comfortable and educated on the fact that in the big scheme of things, it's just a piece of metal like a hammer. you know, and it if it just sits there, it can't do anything. And if it's in the right hands, it can do really, really good things. There's a real lack of education and understanding. A lot of people knocking firearms in our culture who have no concept or they don't know what they're talking about. You know, it's a lack of worldliness in the way that they approach the argument.
One thing I'd like to point out about, you know, businesses, places that choose to post a sign, you know, suppose that you or your family member were being seriously threatened by a stalker. Would you feel safer putting a sign on your house saying that your house is a gun-free zone? Probably not, but that's, in fact, what we do on all sorts of places, such as restaurants and schools. So, you know, why do we put up signs on those places when we wouldn't dare think about putting them on our own homes?
Ah, it's a great point. I've had this discussion and debate with thousands of people and have never brought that. I've never seen someone that you want to talk about an invite to at least come steal my stuff. You know, the statistics are there that in areas where there's a lot of a majority of the people are private gun owners, there's a whole lot less home invasions. There's absolutely no doubt that if I was a criminal and the fourth house on the block had a big gun-free zone sign in front of it and I was going to rob somebody, that makes my decision a whole lot easier. I love that argument. I've never heard it before. Nikki, we're going to have to wrap up here. You and I talked before we went on air on whether or not we would go a whole hour, and it's flown by. I feel like we could talk for another hour, but we're at the end of the line here. We've got author Nikki Gosar. The website is denieda.com. Nikki wrote a book about her experiences, her one experience that then led to a lot of other life experiences. And again, I appreciate hearing a story where possibly gun control laws created a victim. You know, instead of lack of gun control laws creating a victim, because I just don't ever think, every time, folks, that you think that a lack of gun control laws created a victim, first take the time to see if the person even got the gun legally. Because if they broke the law to get it, they're going to break more laws that we pass to get it. And every time we pass another law, we run the risk of restricting a person like Nikki's rights to protect themselves, their rights to be an American and to take care of their own situation as much as their abilities allow them to. So the website again is Denied a Chance. The book is called Denied a Chance: How Gun Control Helped a Stalker Murder My Husband, by Nicole Gosar. Nikki, do you have anything that you want to close with? We're here at the tail end. You got about a minute if you got anything you want to say.
If you don't have your handgun carry permit, I would highly advise that you go seek out a firearms trainer and go through the process to do that and refuse to be a victim.
I agree 100%. I'll back it off to maybe make it a little bit more appealing to people. Even if you absolutely think it's insane to carry, go take the class. Be fair and find out what it's about. It's not a bunch of gun nuts and paramilitary guys training for a revolution. And I think so much of our society is labeled gun owners that way. I think that Nikki, you know, if you go to her website, she offers a picture of what a lot of gun owners are like. A financial aid person at a local college that runs a mobile DJ business, that's not running around in combat boots and old military fatigues with a gun strapped to her chest. It's not the situation. In fact, a huge majority of gun owners are just regular people who want to be prepared to take care of a situation that's presented them in their lives. So, Nikki, thanks so much. It's been an excellent conversation. I hope the fact that I drug you out the whole hour didn't bore you.
No.
And I'm gonna order my copy of the book now. I'm excited to go through it and hear more about the details of it. And thanks so much, and sorry again for your loss.
Thanks for having me on, Cody. Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye now. We'll see y'all this Wednesday on the web only Wednesday version of Cody Talks at CodyTalks.com, and we'll see you right back here on 94.7 KSKU, KFRK, the Freak in Denver, and WRN Radio Network worldwide. It's been the Cody Talks Show. Thanks.
Don't matter if you ain't left or right, if you bleed red or blue. You better listen up, friends, cause we got a show for you.
Don't forget and tell your friends, Cody Talks is on every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on 94.7 KSKU in Central Kansas and live worldwide on CodyTalks.com. See you next week.